Hi, I'm Chris. I'm the co-host of True Believers Comic Book Podcast, our weekly show about all things comics and loosely pop culture. Here today with me to fill in for my other best friend, Andrew, is my other best friend, Alana.
Hello.
As you may remember her from episode 10, Friend or Furry.
Okay.
In honor of the release of Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves, I've got Alana with me to talk about the final two volumes of Die by Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Thomas, The Great Game and Believe.
Ooh, I'm excited. I have lots of thoughts today. Volume two. Well, I guess this isn't technically volume two. What
Volume three and
volume?
four.
Yeah, okay. Volume three and four, second half of our series on this. And wow, the plot.
Okay. I had a specific way how I wanted to talk about this, but I really, child, anyway. Like I said last week, anybody getting into a comic book podcast knows about Dungeons and Dragons, the fantasy game originally published by TSR and now Wizards of the Coast. Die has been described by the writer Kieran Gillen as God's Jumanji, a pitch black fantasy where a group of 40-something adults have to deal with the returning unearthly horde that they only just survived as teenage role players. Alana, what the hell happened in volume three?
Okay, a lot of timey-wimey stuff. Maybe I'm dumb, but also I was like, wow, okay, there's a lot of universes going on. There's a lot of different timelines. I'm having to like make a flow chart so that way I follow.
You said the multiverse is canceled.
Girl, there. Oh. H.G. Wells comes out of there. I didn't expect that, and I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that
Oh,
was a
I
very cool.
absolutely did. You didn't expect that when you saw the, what was that? Is that Little England?
Yeah.
Have you never seen the War of the Worlds?
No.
Oh, it's I didn't prepare you for this because I saw that the first time I read it and I was like, is Herbert George for the, because you know I love H.G. Wells. I was like, her.
Once I saw that it was him, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That makes sense because he did a lot of universe creating. But I just didn't expect it because I had this thing in my head where it was going to be like all high fantasy, and that's what I was expecting.
You
So
weren't
with the
expecting the
sci-fi element,
timeline.
yeah.
But Charlotte Bronte is the warden of Angria. Does that not
Yeah,
poke
but
holes in
Angria
that?
is like kind of modeled after like a high fantasy type thing. Like her showing up also caught me out of left field too. So every time an author shows up, I'm like, what?
No, wait. Because I have notes in order. They're all out of pocket. So first, ask Justin, think about Sophie. When she said that, I was like, what you mean? You're married to this woman and you like y'all have been here, it seems like, for months or a while. So you didn't think about Sophie this whole time? Even Arnie Niekamp in Hello from the Magic Tavern, at least he does think about them every once in a while.
I straight up forgot that Ash had a family back home. That's how little they have mentioned their family. They acted like they could take or leave, coming or going.
As they said, we
Or
not
we
loving
could
these hoes.
stay.
I only said we not loving these hoes to segue into the next thing that I'm about to say, which is about to be so out of pocket. And I'm sorry, but Lord Zamorna, I was like, I want you dead. I want you buried. I want you under the ground because he described himself when he got chained by Ash. Oh, so they had a dictator takeover of Angria. So Ash and the other dictators, like, I don't know. Took over. They were like, we're running things
She
now, period.
usurped the shit out of that throne.
But the thing is, I want to know what the thing was because Ash and Zamorna like made this man the Marquis of something. Ash was like, tell us your greatest secret. And then Zamorna and Ash sat up and looked shocked. And these are two miserable, awful people because Ash is terrible too. I was like, oh,
Yeah,
next you can't
okay.
try
I'm
me.
so glad you said that
What was the
because,
secret? Cause Ash was like, it's worse
girl.
than you could have thought. I was like, what could it be? Cause I can think of a lot of things that are horrible.
Oh my gosh. And then whenever her hold over Zamorna breaks.
Oh, when he came back, I was
Woo!
like, but no, we're not even on that now. We're talking
No, it's
about
okay.
how they went into the backstory about how when they were little kids, Zamorna was Izzy's boyfriend and then got with Ash and then Ash got pregnant. And I was like, you're trash. And when Ash took over Zamorna's mind, Zamorna was like, why did you do that? And then Ash was like, because you're trash. And he was like, yeah, well, I was imagined by Charlotte Bronte as the ravisher of teenage girls. I was like, ew.
What?
And then he was like, 17 isn't a kid, and 16 is the age of consent where you're from, I think. Anybody who knows the age of consent is a pervert. If anybody could tell you the age of consent in a place, they need to be guillotined. Matter of fact, I want them shot, firing squad, water torture, because they are a pervert.
And it begs our original question that we asked last episode. So were they kids doing like,
Because they didn't look like kids.
hello? How much time passed while they were still there? I don't know, ma'am. I don't know. But he got his, didn't he?
Yeah, period. Also, I didn't notice that their dye were inside their bodies until literally when Ash took over Angria. I saw it's in Ash's chest.
Yeah,
They all are.
I never connected that until that very scene, and I was like, oh, I
Because
feel like I
Ash turned and
missed
he
so
glowed.
much that these later episodes like made me realize.
Real eyes recognize real lies or
Yeah,
whatever.
you know it. You know it.
Awesome, Jane and stuff.
Also still a Matt stan. Daddy
Period.
Matt is the best. He's the
Period.
best. And you know what? Whenever he actually got to have a point of authority, I was like, finally! Honestly, who let Ash run shit? Why? Anyway.
Saul, that's who. I also saw in Ash's relationship, they never cleared this second part up for me because Ash describes Saul as, oh, wait, I wrote it down. I see the chasm between the character he is now and the boy I loved. And I'm like platonically or romantically, because I feel like I've always loved
Okay.
you very much.
Yeah, I
But
was wondering though, because it seems very intimate between the two of them. So I know it's not explicitly said, but
and this adventure
right?
on their shared birthday is admittedly for
For
Ash.
Ash. Right. It's all for you, he said.
Multiple times. He made sure we knew it's all for you. Also, the world of Dai is shaped like a D20, and I feel like we did not appreciate
I
that the
definitely
first
never got
time.
that.
And I knew it's like it was so tertiary to me. I was like, oh yeah, but then they went to all these different places, and the border of D20, the GM's realm, the master's realm or whatever, it's called the screen.
Well, I'm an idiot.
Like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing.
I
Now,
really appreciate all of the little details that were snuck into the plot that like there's so many little Easter eggs and things like that.
and not in like a Ready Player One way where they want
No.
us to like catch them. It's because it's not because I'm trying to make myself what's the word? I don't think Kieran Gillen has the superiority complex that the writer of Ready Player One has, because Ready Player One is like, I'm smarter than you and I know everything. But this is like, I know everything and I love it and I want to share it with you.
Yeah, it absolutely feels like a love letter to D&D.
Not just D&D, to gaming in general.
Yeah.
It's all for you. Just like me when I write these D&D adventures, when I kill people's dogs and their parents.
It's all for you.
And I
Your
burn their cart
misery, but
down.
it's for you.
Did you have fun? Come on now.
Yeah, you went to
But
like three funerals. Wasn't that fun for you?
yeah, we went to a wedding. Four funerals and a wedding. It's like a reverse. I'm trying to give everybody through these children's adventures the opportunity for their character to ascend and become a god. That sounds
Through
like a joke.
misery and pain.
Or children's adventures, did we not fight the wizard Bon Bon?
I
Or we didn't
loved the
actually fight the
Candyland
wizard
adventure.
Bon Bon. That was like, you know what's funny? I do all this stuff and people think that it comes from like watching Critical Role or Dimension 20, except that, you know, Critical Role is too long for my very, very limited attention span. And Dimension 20, it's like I get all these ideas like way before I watch that season. And then I'm like, oh, look at them. They have a Candyland season. That's cute. The Candyland season was misery, just like reading Die, because the Great Game, I was literally reading it like, because half of, they split the party again. It's like Izzy, Saul, and Ash in Angria, and then Matt, Angela. Girl, I forgot Angela's name. You know, I hate cyberpunk characters, so I was like, the robot, what's her name? Okay. So Matt, Angela, and Chuck, the idiot, I mean, the fool.
Also, Angela desperately needs therapy, but that's another topic.
Child, they all do.
They all
The
do, but
person.
like her especially, I think.
No, it's Matt especially. Matt needs that
Well,
therapy the
yeah.
most.
He's the least problematic, but the most hurt.
But they're kind of like running I don't even want to call it a rebellion, but they don't agree with what Ash and Izzy are doing and angry, and somehow it has become all Ash's fault in their minds, which is crazy.
I mean,
Izzy is
she
the
did
more
take over
active.
Angria, and
Izzy is the more active participant.
that's
The
fair.
Godbinder? Yeah. Cause I when they ended up in chains, I'm like, how the hell is it just two of them in chains? This should be three. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, because of Ash's takeover of Angria, the other three, they decide to go out into the wild looking for who the hell knows what, but they go back to Glass Town to see what's all going on there, and they find out that these dice are being made, and that they're in what is it called, an Ouroboros?
An aurora borealis?
No, it's the thing where the snake eats its own tail and it's in a perfect circle. Everything happened as a child, whatever that concept is, they're in
As
it.
above, so below.
Sound right to me.
I don't know. They're trying to prevent the cataclysm to where Dai and the real
Their
world are
dice,
going to.
yeah, collide.
Yeah, it got real apocalyptic real quick.
Yeah, and as it gets apocalyptic, there are envoys from Little England to Angria. They're like, "Oh, we're at war now." What? Because
Yeah,
it's
that
always been us
escalated
against
quickly.
Eternal Prussia. So Ash make a deal to meet with the master of Little England, and who should appear on his bicycle except one Mr. Herbert George Wells. I love H.G. Wells's work. I don't know why I love H.G. Wells's work so much, but it speaks to me.
He definitely had some cult leader vibes.
Child, those were not, they were not cult leader vibes. They were the same vibes that Ash was putting out as the Queen of Angria.
I say, when they were gonna kill Ash, I was kind of like, you know, they have a point. So I'm gonna say it, I agree, but still very culty. Anyway.
It's just the fact they went into the history of like war gaming, and I wrote down everything in the world except for the name of that game that preceded Little Wars. It was like some German people came up with this game, and they were like, "Yeah, this game is so cool," but people were using it to simulate war, and then war actually happened. They were like, "Well, how the hell could this have happened? What?" And then H.G. Wells was like, "To prevent this world war, I'm gonna come up with this game, Little Wars, and I'm gonna write my little books, and then it'll be avoided." Ash had him gagged. She was like, "Yeah, the war happened anyway." And then he was like, "What?" And then she was like, "Yeah, Tolkien, you know the front? You think that's just a, you think this is a dream? Nope, men
Bursted
died.
that bubble.
Millions of men died."
Yeah, that's when all the timelines started to get confusing for me.
But also, H.G. Wells needed a good slap.
Again, I say, you know, culty.
He low-key pissed me off. No, sexism. He said,
Oh,
"My
yes,
dear
that too.
Lady Ash, I presume you are that more intelligent sort of girl who likes boys' games." When he that's how he led his speech into the history of his little wars. I was like, "Excuse me?"
Him as a villain reminded me a lot of oh, do you remember in The Magicians, the OG bad guy? Who was it? What was his name? Not
The
the
Beast?
Wasp. Yes, the Beast.
Oh, Martin? Yeah,
Yeah,
that's my
they
dude,
gave me the
though.
similar vibes. But I ended up liking Martin, and I still liked H.G. Wells. Yes.
But on the other side of the table, I'm sorry. I'm sorry again.
Flustered?
No, it made me laugh. My little pun on the other, I don't even want to explain why. But on the other side of the table, there's Matt and then Chuck. And it's like Chuck was having some big sincerity vibes this
I
whole time, and I
know. And then
was
it
like, "Chuck,
screws everything.
I know," but Chuck, he was like, "Matt, you're the biggest badass," and he said, "I never wanted to be like that. My heroes were just decent people. I wanted to be like my dad." He said he didn't want to be anyone other than Sam Gamgee, and Chuck said, "We're
We're
sneaking
walking
into
into
Mordor,
Mordor.
Matt. We
Yep.
need all the Sam Gamgee we can get." Chuck, I hated the sincerity because it's like you've been the dirtbag this entire time.
I
Don't.
know. Now I have to care what happens to you.
Yeah, because you, well, we find out also that Chuck is dying, so it's like he's
Yes.
getting his life together. Well, also, no, he's trying to get chose by these fairies. He's trying to get healed. They just said no, which was low-key a whole move. You're not gonna flip a coin.
Not
No.
happening. Actually, you're just gonna die. I could save you, but
That
I
is not
won't.
among the things that happened.
It doesn't feel like a gimmick. It feels like part of like the bones of the story.
it doesn't feel relevant until you're like, wait, 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 hold on, hold on. Let's get back to the beginning. Then it's like all this stuff just happened all at once. The mourner calls in her debts to Izzy. She's like, oh, I've been saving them for one big favor and we'll be clear. And she's like, okay. And she said, you need to tell your little friend this. And I was like, well, what's this? And then so she sends a bird to tell Matt, your dad is dead.
She is so messy for that, yet again. I mean, effective though. It did work.
The gods of diet are hoes, all of them.
This is true. But
Except
also,
for the
like,
bear.
evil genius at the same time, though, because it did work. It got Matt where we needed him to be in order to. That was to defeat Zamorna, right?
Yes. And Matt, oh, Zaddy Maddy. The
Zaddy Matt.
way he Matt finished up what he was trying to do in Glass Town, and he was like, Angela, use the last of your gold to teleport me back to Angria. And he said it like, and I'm not playing. So they did, he did it, and then he ends up at the cave of the night, and he picks up the hammer of rage, or and they were like, wait, 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 you can't dual wield. And he's like, I do what the hell I want. I'm Matt. And
Yes, sir.
I was
And
like,
also, like, go in there to kill Ash, but I was like, we all know.
Ash was like trying to organize some city defense, and Izzy, meanwhile, called out to the gods and was like, put everybody to sleep. So somehow or another, Ash ends up in chains. Like, they have a fight between, because they're all sitting there wondering, like, oh man, Matt is coming to kill us. Izzy, Saul, and Ash. And now, somehow or another, Izzy is the one who actually fights Matt, and somehow Ash is the one who ends up with the muzzle on. Now they all end up on a sailing ship to a place in the map where it says, here there be dragons, which means apparently in Die where there just are dragons, here is something worse. Before they leave, because H.G. Wells is gone, they're able to make an armistice with Little England, and she leaves Augustus to rule Angria, because I'm like, if both of your parents were the rulers of Angria, it makes sense, be the king.
Yeah, and one of them's dead now, and the other's incarcerated.
Heavily incarcerated. And Augustus was like, mother, and I'm thinking he's gonna say something sweet. I don't know why I thought that. He's like, yeah, if you come back here, you're gonna have to die. So
He was very chill about both of his parents being like out of there.
seeing them on the front lines together too, does Amorta actually care about him? Was he raised
I
well?
don't know. That's what I was wondering. Like, do they even have a bond? Because, like, they just
Because
sort of kill
Amorta
him
moved
off, and
him.
then Augustus is like, all right, well, don't come back.
Because Amorna, like, they were on the battlefield together, and he was like, I can't leave the front, because the only reason he went to the front was to make sure that Ash took the war seriously. And the fact that they know Ash, like, this is kind of where everybody becomes unserious to me, because everybody was mad at Ash for wanting to stay and taking the world seriously. Ash has a living child in this world. So it was a little bit of a whole move on everybody else's part to be like, you shouldn't care. What? Oh, okay. Also, in the issue where they were in the cave, when Nat was like, oh yeah, so I gotta pick up this hammer, I found out that the reason why, not just because it represents like the damage done by a lot of martial classes, like the big weapons, the reason why Matt is the DA is because there are 8 orders of emotion knights. This was so well thought out.
Man, the story and character building is so well done in this comic.
It's giving serving, it really is. But
Attention to detail.
now we're on our sailing ship. Now we are going. We are going, going, gone. So they sail out into the middle of the ocean. I'm like, okay. Then they get to this creepy ass island. I'm like, okay. Then they reveal that they're doing human sacrifices on the island. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then Chuck, in a strange moment of, I don't even want to call it mercy, but just forethought, the two dwarves who are with Chuck almost all the time, Dower and Delighted, Dower was killed in Glasstown, I believe. And Delighted, he can't even mourn because he's only created to be delighted.
Pour
So
one out for
Chuck,
Dower.
pour one out for the homie. So Chuck is like, I'm gonna get you drunk, real, real drunk, so you can't even wake up. Then I'm gonna leave you behind because I don't want you to get killed. I was like, not sincerity from you, Chucko.
Oh, I know. He really came around. They did that because they knew he was gonna die. They had to make us care that he was dying.
We should have seen that coming, because that's what they do every time somebody's gonna die. Or you start acting like an asshole. There's no in between. Like, if you were the good character and you're gonna die, you start acting like ass. If you're the bad character and you're gonna die, then you start acting good.
Yep.
It's the blueprint.
There has to be some incentive to make us give a shit either way. Either vindication or, oh, they were doing better.
It's like, Chuck acted such a fool though, the first two volumes. I was like,
Oh, well, he had it coming.
he only had himself to blame.
Worked out.
So they get to the creepy ass island. They're like, okay, everybody looks, what is that word? Emaciated? Yeah, they looked emaciated. Almost everybody was bald. They looked bald, and they're like, they were wary of Ash, but they were like, oh, we've seen a lot like him around or something like that. And I was like, girl, what the
That's
hell?
not good. Yeah, like red flag, red flag.
But then they never talked about it. So it's like I forgot about it because all this other stuff was happening. And then as soon as I saw the other stuff, I was like, skirt, 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 skirt. Let me get back up to the top. Take it from the top.
Whenever Saul was like saying how he recognized the place but he couldn't remember, I was like, red flag, red flag.
A bombastic side eye, because what the hell? No, my biggest thing was when they got in their submarine, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Jules Verne, it's a submersible. I'm thinking, okay, this is 20,000 leagues. And then we got lower and lower and lower. And I was like, this is not 20,000 leagues. Because there was a giant statue of a man. And I'm like, that man looks so familiar. Like, I've seen his face before somewhere. And then they went to the eye. And I was like, it's almost like they're in the eyes of God. And then I was like, okay, that sounds really familiar. And then they get closer and closer and closer, and then we meet the warden of this hellscape,
Yes,
Howard
indeed.
Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft. I don't even remember if his name actually was
Lovecraft.
Howard. I was just assigning a name. I know for a fact H.G. Wells is Herbert George, but I don't know. I think all of Lovecraft's work is like racism, scary, tentacles.
Don't, yeah, extra tentacles. Lot
Low key,
heaping helping of tentacles.
I don't know what he said, but he said something mildly racist. And I was a little bit disappointed because I'm like, didn't you name your cat the N-word? Like, I don't think people should be racist, but I was kind of expecting you to
He
have
named
more
his
zit.
cat the N-word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, I don't know. I don't care about his life.
You just said it, and I wasn't expecting that one. That's
Well, you know, I read that on Twitter or something, and I feel like people keep bringing it up, but I don't know how true it is because, you know, for years I've been saying that I think Neil Gaiman is racist, but I can't really tell. I don't have any evidence to that. I don't know. Something about Neil Gaiman just gives me racist vibes. Allegedly. Sorry, Neil Gaiman, if you're not racist, if you are, you know, kick rocks.
but she's watching you.
Yeah, I really not actually.
The jury is out.
I don't really like Neil Gaiman's writing, so it's like I'm like,
Coraline traumatized you as a kid.
You know what's funny? The book traumatized me, and I was so scared after I read that book. But somehow I went and saw the movie, and somehow somebody gave it to me on DVD, and I watched it with your creepy ass child. So I've seen it like multiple times.
Oh yeah, no, I own that movie. It
I tried to
definitely,
pawn off another.
I loved it, and I watched it in theaters when it came out, and then I got a copy of it. But also, every single time I watched it, I would freak out and need to go like hug my mom or dad. It was a little
You
too
know
real
what?
for me.
The other mother never could have got me.
How
She
so?
never, because you know I have that thing about eyes. So it's like
Oh
as
yeah.
soon as I saw the button eyes, I would have left.
I wouldn't have wanted to go with her either, but the fact whenever the parents go missing was when I was like, no.
I'd have closed that door and locked it. She never could have got me.
You're built different.
Yeah, it's like the first time when I saw it. You know, I have that thing about people who are too tall as well.
I remember from our high school experience and the guy, too tall. Yes.
So when we get into the statue and they meet H.P. Lovecraft, and he's like, oh, I'm 19 or something, or not 19, but he's like, oh, I was young, but it was like the other life, that was a dream, and I got transported here because they were like, oh, so this is you after you died and you wrote this. And she's like, no, I haven't written anything. I was like,
Okay, so when we read this, I was extremely tired, and not gonna lie, I read H.G. Wells and H.P. Lovecraft as the same, like,
they look
it's an
completely different.
acronym. No, they look completely different, but I was like, oh, he looks different in this one, but it's the H and the H. In my head, they were the same person. So I was like, he went from looking really normal to looking like a cult leader. I didn't expect that. Anyway.
What I didn't notice was that the other masters covered their eyes because I guess that's the part of them that's most artificial or whatever, because they said the eyes are the windows to the soul. The master of Angria, Charlotte Bronte, she wears like a mask, and the master of the front, we didn't look into his eyes either. And H.P. Lovecraft doesn't have eyes, but when he leaves at the end of the Great Game, H.G. Wells pulls off his glasses and you see these gears turning behind his eyes. And I'm like, girl, what the hell?
Makes me wonder too about Saul's eye and why he's blind.
Saul's not blind.
At the end, he is.
You didn't look at the end because in the last panel, Saul moved his glasses off and he has an eye. It's just a die.
They implied that he was blind, though.
He lying. Just like how they say Stevie Wonder is blind.
Stevie Wonder's not faking being blind, Christian.
I don't get how people could really espouse that foolishness. No, awesome serious stuff. But
So you
Saul can
admit that he
see.
is legitimately blind. But Saul's faking it.
Saul, like in that last panel when he removed his glasses and I saw that die, I said, oh, you can see. You can see.
As he starts to remember and realize they are in deep shit.
Because they go deeper and deeper into this cave. Oh, first, one of the gods calls it a favor to Izzy and it's like, kill H.P. Lovecraft. So she just does it. And they're all like, whoa, 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 what the hell? And I'm like, y'all have all killed so many people.
Yeah,
Y'all.
it's not your first murder rodeo.
It's like, I was just like, the fact that they all have the nerve to be so judgmental, it really throws me because I'm
I
like,
know.
you're all terrible in a unique way.
Yeah, nobody gets
Not
to have
mad
a high
though.
horse in this comet except for Matt.
And it's funny because Matt has probably killed the most people. But Matt was
That's
like,
fair.
they keep trying to talk Matt down. And he's like, oh yeah, they're like, your dad didn't raise a killer. My dad didn't raise a killer. His friends made him one. And that was right before he kills Amorna. I was like,
You tell
what?
him, Zaddy.
Exactly. He said, I never wanted to be a killer. Oh, Matt, next time you picked the wrong character. Should have been like, I'm gonna be the dictator.
Listen, Matt could literally kill anyone, and I would still be like, he had a good reason.
And just like when Ash killed Saul, and like, was that? That was like issue one, wasn't it? Or like
No,
issue
I had a
two?
bone to pick with that. Okay. I
Ash
thought
didn't even
she was
wait for
like way too
confirmation.
trigger happy with that.
Ash was like, we going home. I respected that. We were going home. We're going home now. We're
Well,
going
that
home
shit
today.
didn't last.
Yeah, it lasted for months.
No, I mean like the notion to go home. We're going home today. She flipped the script on that pretty
Listen.
quickly.
Listen, I think the story gets different when you find out that people are locked into war, and then you find out that you actually really do have a living adult son. I kind of get that. That might change things for me.
It's fair, it's fair. But
Not me. I probably would just put him out of his misery, and we would have just went about our business. But
also the whole time I'm just like, Matt wants to go home to his real family with real kids. He just wants to go home. He didn't ask to be here. And I don't care about the other characters. So I was like, give Matt what he wants.
as they got into like bleed, because we were solidly in a bleed at this point, they started talking about what you can owe to God, and then we're dealt like the worst blow ever. Isabel, she tries to make a deal with a god, and that god is like, girl, I know you're not trying to set up an escape, trying to make a deal with me. Have the absolute nerve and audacity. She was so offended. She's like, you know what? No other god will help you.
Like I said, they're all so petty. This is why I would not want to be a god binder because they're not your miracles. It always costs something, and they
Oh,
have
well, no, you do get
worse
minor
timing.
miracles.
At what cost?
No, they're like cantrips.
But yeah, I get that the minor miracles are cantrips, and that you don't actually owe the gods for each minor miracle that you
It's
perform.
just the major miracles.
Yes, but either way, in order to even have that cantrip, you're still at their mercy because you're God-binded. So no matter what, like,
No, you bind the gods.
okay, yeah, but it's a pretty, like, mutually parasitic relationship.
Ooh, parasitic. Not you in a parasocial relationship with the gods, like they're an influencer.
Oh my God.
Like and subscribe, guys.
All right, so at this point, we are deep under the water with H.G. Wells. Wait, no.
No, we're with H.P.
No.
Lovecraft, baby.
See, this
Well,
is
we're
what I
not even
mean.
with him.
Get the acronym. Yeah, anyway. We're gonna cut all of that.
You said we're with H.G. Wells. No, no,
This
no,
is
no,
why I
no.
got it mixed up because I haven't read either of their work, so I was like, yeah, the H guy. But anyway.
Specifically, where are we? What are we doing?
Okay. I'm
Because we've
talking to
had the
my
dragon,
notes.
but
Yes.
now
Okay, they're
we're
gonna have to fight
in.
the Cthulhu thing. The giant
Oh,
squid.
I was leading up to the dungeon, but
Oh, well, yeah.
this is a good old-fashioned dungeon crawl.
Okay.
You
So
gotta
pick up
fight
where you're wanting to
Cthulhu.
pick up from.
That's it. That was, but they as they delve deeper and deeper into the dungeon, Saul is leading the way. He's like, no, I know this place. And so he's like, yeah, but this is the last place I remember. And I'm like, girl, what the hell? And then that's where it gets what Eldritch Horror. We got tentacles, we got monsters, we got a child, and I really don't know what was happening there. That's all we can say on that. Then all of a sudden there's a giant ash who's like, you shall not pass.
Yes.
And then this giant ash, I'm underselling how scary and creepy it was, because literally she was bent over, like crawling, not crawling because she didn't move, but she had blocked the, like she was posed like a sphinx and she had blocked the whole walkway. And she was like, yeah, y'all ain't going home without me. You tried to leave me behind? I'm the best parts of you. You're nothing without me.
That was a cool metaphor too, though. A lot of this, like towards the end, you start to see like what it's trying to convey, and like Ash like confronting the dark parts of herself and accepting herself for who she is and like in her entirety. It was interesting.
And then just the fact that, we briefly talked about the fact that talked about this in our first episode, that they tried to ask Ash personal questions early on. They were like, so Ash, we like never brought this up again, but you like, are you attracted to men? Because you did get pregnant, and we just kind of let that one go. We tracked it to the game. But it's Ash has been living this whole repressed life, like just, and they start at out of all people, Isabel was the one who was like, if you don't, let yourself feel anything, you will end up just, it would just be awful. Like, so Ash starts like, it was the most begrudging reveal of anything I've ever seen in any form of media, because Ash was like, hello, this is how I feel. These are my feelings. Yes.
Was a nice bonding moment for her and Isabel too.
It's just the fact that they're all standing there, and like, it's, you could all be bonding as like everybody's there from y'all's original party. And then it's like, Angela, this is your sibling. I was like, you didn't want to throw in a hug or anything.
Yeah, it
And
was like an opportunity for both of them to like live their lives authentically because there was a certain level of anonymity. It's
yeah,
not real, is what they thought.
it was crazy, but we're at the point where we know it's for sure real. Also, we left out the fact that they found a fallen that looks like Angela's daughter, and they just been carrying this little zombie girl around.
Yeah, and it ends up really shooting them in the foot when they're trying to keep the dyes from being like forged.
Yeah, it was very unserious. You know, when something is stupid to me, I just put it out of my mind. So I was like, oh yeah, and she was there too. Who cares? But also, I'm not a parent and I don't really care about kid characters, except in live action. It makes me scared. I don't like to see kids in danger.
I know, it stresses me out.
Is that just what happens as you get older? Like, not even just being a parent, but Angela's daughter, I was like, girl, she's a zombie. If y'all leave that zombie alone.
Right, and that was one of the instances where it's like, well, is this real? Are all of the characters real? Or are they just based on real people? But it's, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, so as we get deeper and deeper into the dungeon, we find out two horrible things in succession. We see, first of all, this dungeon in H.P. Lovecraft's eye, all of the fallen come from. They're like lost souls. So I was like, oh dang. And actually H.P. Lovecraft did tell them that, because H.P. Lovecraft was like, yeah, I cast out my eyes because I saw horrors beyond my imagining. And I was like, I can imagine those horrors though. RIP to you, but I'm different.
And also, like, he doesn't he disclose too that like the fallen here are also people that have died in their dreams.
Yeah, and they were like, how many fallen are there? And he turned and was like, how many of you are there? And I was like,
Oh.
because I didn't like that. I did not like that. I don't die in my dreams, though, so.
Me neither. I always wake up before I'm gonna. And also, oh, we never discussed too how Saul had given her his die 20.
Yep, Saul gave her his master die, and she was about to, like, it was right when Augustus had come back from the front, actually. She was about to take, oh, this all happened when Zamorna got killed. That was, like, a crazy 5 minutes. She was about to take her dagger and plunge it into her eye. And put the death and Saul was like, wait, mother, you should know that's nothing, that's just like yours. That's not the Grandmaster's die, it's like a toy. And Saul was like, girl, boy, what the hell you mean? Because, like, I cast my eye out and put this in. Like, am I blind for no reason? Well, he wasn't blind, clearly.
So that was futile. Pretty funny.
I was really glad she didn't do it. Like,
Yeah.
imagine if he let her do it and then was like, Mom, I don't think that's gonna work the way you want it to.
I mean, she kind of had it come.
Yeah. Girl, bye. No, my thing is, I never understood why Ash covers the other half of her face.
Yeah, why is that?
Yeah, I didn't see the reason for that. It looks cool, don't get me
Maybe
wrong,
it's an
but
aesthetic choice. I don't know.
you know what, if I was the ruler of Angria, I would probably make some aesthetic choices too.
She
Also,
always looks fire. Her outfits are always great.
Ash is giving serving. Okay. And my thing is, I'm really mad that Zamorna was a perv because he was drawn to be handsome. And I was like, it's like at first, I was like, not a vampire zaddy. And then I was like, die in a
I
fire.
know. You know I love me a hot vampire daddy. And then he just had to go and be a pervert.
Am I not going to get it again? Am I not going to get what I got the first time?
Daddy strong. It's all right. It's all right. I got my vampire daddy.
You didn't even get a castle. You really don't have
No, I
anything.
didn't. I didn't even actually get to seduce him, but I did turn into a full vampire. So I did get immortality. So I still girl bossed my way into having superpowers when I was very, very low powered before. So, I mean, you win some, you lose some.
My gosh, not it being Underworld Blood Wars. I really love those movies. They are so cute. Well, no, they're not.
They're cute.
Well, I think Michael is cute. You know, Michael is on Grey's Anatomy now.
I've never seen Grey's Anatomy.
That's the white woman's one piece. How have you never seen it? This is like your
Because it
calling.
seems really boring.
I mean, it's like a medical soap opera, so it just is what it is.
It's just not been my cup of tea. Grandma
We're a
Wanda
police.
loved her Days of Our Lives.
We're a police procedural medical drama family over here.
Nice. I mean, do you count Law and Order SVU as a soap opera? Because I've seen every episode of that since I was like 10.
Oh, hello, listeners. My friend Alana is a crazy person.
Hey, just so you know,
I'm
watch
laying
this
up trying
show.
to take
Some
a nap.
adults are bad.
I'm laying up trying to take a nap. You're out here playing the gun episode where a little boy pulls up a gun to Benson on. I remember that specific episode.
My mom's strategy as a like child and early teen was to just keep the news on, especially when they were discussing like local crime, just so I would have a healthy dose of fear. And she was like, "Yeah, that one happened 10 minutes from our house, Alana." Guess you shouldn't talk to strangers, huh? So, you know, it
See, my
was
mom didn't
effective
want
as
to,
hell.
she didn't want to tell me stuff. She would just interrogate me after I went anywhere. And these would be disturbing interrogations. It's like she just now like is realizing that how crazy it was. I'm like, I would come home and it's like I didn't know what she was asking. So I'm just like, I don't
What?
want to go anywhere because every time I go somewhere, I come home and here she is.
Getting the third degree and you didn't even do nothing wrong. I didn't expect the angle of having like the die itself personified and then that being a character.
Well, they said at the beginning that the master was also a character, so.
That did not click for me. Okay, I was thinking that like at that point, I was still really naive to the story, so I was like, yeah, of course the Grandmaster is a character. Like,
Duh.
duh. That goes without saying. And then that happened, and I, okay, that makes it come full circle for me now. But I still was like, oh. So Dai is a universe. Dai is a character. Dai is a place. Dai is a Dai.
According to Ash, the amoral god at the end of time was our dice. It makes sense. Dice are always amoral gods. I was like, period. Because every time I roll bad, I'm like, why?
This is
And the
true.
dice have the nerve not to care.
Not a bit.
It's just the fact that when Saul starts to realize what's going on, he's like, they walk into this room that is just a tomb, and it's like an open tomb with a book hanging off. And then it's just Saul's diary from like right after they left. They're like, Saul's like, oh yeah, after I left, I got killed immediately. What?
I
After they left,
know.
I got killed immediately. And then Ash is like, Ash really could have kept that to themselves, so I hesitated. What? I never would have told anybody that. We just would have went home without ever anybody knowing that. But Ash hesitated for like 0.2 seconds. And Ash was a kid, so it's like I can't even be mad at the situation.
I still am.
I said you can't be mad. I would have been mad as hell, especially if I was Saul.
Exactly.
And it's like Saul's reading this diary and remembering about how like people who were their friends previously turned their back on him because he wasn't a paragon anymore. He was no longer a player. He was a fallen. So he had to make his way all the way back to. Oh, I don't even remember where he went, but that and then he somehow ended up at that island. Then he was just there trapped for years, and then all of a sudden. The Grandmaster came back and was like, yeah, so I'm gonna need you to do a little bit more participation. And he's like, what? So the Grandmaster's like, yeah, I'm gonna hammer out your eye and I'm gonna put this dice in it. What?
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay.
It wasn't no okay. He saw was like, no, I don't want to.
Went 0-2 eye removal real quick.
The thing we left out though, when they finally got to the Lovecraftian monster with the tentacles. Matt looked down and it had his mother's eyes and they were disappointed. I was like, oh God, this is
Why do
horrible.
they have to keep rubbing salt in poor Matt's wounds? I know he's a grief knight, but damn.
It's funny that you would bring up grief because I feel like grief has been their all of their grief and at the situation and like everything that they've lost so far, it's what really led them in volume four. And I read something yesterday that's actually really lovely that I would like to share with you. It is from this, I think it's a book called Love Warrior by Glennon Doyle Melton. Grief is love's souvenir. It is our proof that we once loved. Grief is the receipt we wave in the air that says to the world, look, love was once mine. I love well. Here is my proof and that I paid the price. You're not supposed to be happy all the time. Life hurts and it's hard. Not because you're doing it wrong, but because it hurts for everybody. Don't avoid the pain. You need it. And that's such a neutral statement. And I feel like that is exactly like the amorality of die the game, die the world, die the character. It
Absolutely.
matches up with that so well.
Yeah, appreciating life for all that it is and not just the easily digestible parts, but that even the pain is part of the experience.
Yeah, to refer back to whatever the one is where they go and meet God, but it's not God because God doesn't need a spaceship. You need your pain. It's what makes you human. So it's not even that you need it. It's that pain is inevitable. Because you're happy, you're sometimes going to be sad. Because you're angry, you're going to feel joy. Because you feel grief, that means you felt love. Because you felt rage, that means you cared. Wait. Okay. Dai saw all the events that need to transpire to ensure that Saul creates it in 1991. First, it inspires the creation of war games through H.G. Wells. Then, it sends the soldiers to the Brontes, who create the concept of conversational collaborative storytelling. Later, war games indirectly lead to World War I, where J.R.R. Tolkien is inspired by his experiences to write Lord of the Rings, which will inspire modern tabletop role-playing games and, in turn, Saul's game. Finally, the Paragon's experiences in Dai in 1991 and in the present solidify all prior events. This is from the Wikipedia. But so basically, all that Dai wants to do is exist. And then at the end, Dai asks, like, so what am I for? And Saul is, they're all, when I tell you they are PI pissed, I would have been pissed too, because we're not getting there. We're not doing this. Not today and not ever. That OG, it made me mad. I was like, what do you mean? What am I for? You need to come up with a reason for yourself. And then ask, I was like, I think me and Ash had the realization around the same time, because I was like, you're a game. You're meant to be played. Like, what the hell? And Ash like leads them all to the realization, like, it was never asking, what am I for, in like a metaphysical sense. It was like, what do you want me for? What did you
Exactly.
want?
Like, what did you want this to be? Why did you play?
And Saul had been saying the entire time, it's all for you.
I know. It all came full circle with that. I liked
Was
each of their individual answers too.
And Matt was like, I'm for it, go to hell. He didn't
Yeah,
say
he was
that.
like, I'm for going the fuck home.
And then just the fact that Ash is like, you gave me opportunity to learn something about myself I could not explore in my regular world. I was like, cool. And the guy's like, thanks for playing. I'm like, no, we have to fight more.
I know. The end, like, I expected there to be more after that. Like, I didn't trust that that was it.
Oh, there was more. Saul killed Chuck. Straight up came out the gate and was like, argh. He's dead now.
Yeah, that happened too, yeah. But I like expected more of a boss or something.
Why would you expect that? This was never that kind of game.
I didn't think that they would just leave it. I didn't think Die was just gonna leave it at why'd you play, essentially. Didn't expect that to be like the end of that. And then yeah, Saul came out and was like, okay, night, sweet prince.
Good night,
And then
sweet
Saul's
fool.
back. And then Chuck goes off with the Elf Queen, right, to go on his next thing.
Yes, but first, just the fact that everybody was dead on the ground in 13, like the fairies, they were dead on the ground, and they were like, yeah, so us and the masters, we tried to team up under H.G. Wells's direction, but we lost. I was like, that was very funny. We left that out. Then they all get up and they just leave. Like, they're like, okay, we're leaving Die. We're all gonna leave. And then they leave. And then Chuck is like, I'm awake. And then they end up, I think they might have even been in the same world they were in as kids.
Yeah. I mean, did you not think that before?
I thought so, but I thought that was very unserious. Like, why do you keep dropping us in the same road? Why is this happening to us? Why is this our second time in the middle of the same road? Can you please? Like, we didn't leave from this road. That's the thing.
I heard you say world. For some reason, when you said road, it sounded like world. So I was like,
Yeah, they're in the same world. Duh.
I was like, did you think that they were at a different version of
No,
that one? Okay,
it
yeah,
makes
I'm
me
tracking
mad
now.
because the first time they left from Saul's house, the second time they left from Chuck's house, they had the same stupid argument and they said the same words to get back. When they came back, they were still in the middle of that road. Why?
I guess that's like the spawning location. Maybe the portal. I'm not sure.
But you know what? You know what? I'm just happy they had their clothes on both times because I've been scarred.
With what?
I don't know, like stuff like Terminator, because you know when they go back in time in the first Terminator, and I think it might happen in all the movies, but yeah. You go back in time, you're naked.
What, the clothes on your body can't also make the quantum travel?
Child, I don't know. Sometimes, listen, when you portal somewhere, you might end up naked.
I don't want to end up naked in a new dimension, so.
I actually did have a couple questions for you. So, Alana, is your husband a fake bitch, or does he listen to true believers?
He's a fake bitch. He also doesn't check his texts, so.
Yeah, that's fair. That tracks.
I don't think he's
Michael.
listened to even the episodes that I'm on. Love him, but I definitely don't think he's listened.
I knew it. I just wanted it confirmed. So the next time I see him, I could be like, hey, fake. What up, fake?
Yeah, just refer to him as the fake bitch. It's okay.
I
He'll be all
already
right.
do. I already do. That's his contact.
Okay, perfect.
No, jokes aside. Okay, so now, having read all of Die, if we were both playing a game, what do you think your persona is?
Not fucking Godbinder, that's for sure. I want nothing to do with that. Nothing. I would enjoy being a grief knight. I've got plenty of sadness to go around.
Like just grief, you ain't got no other emotion.
Lots of other emotions, but if I have to do the same class as him, I'm standing with my boy Matt, okay? I don't want to be like Ash. I don't want to make people do shit, against their will. I don't want to be the fool. Well, I guess being the fool would actually be kind of fun, but I feel like I'd be bad at it because I'm just not careless enough.
I think you have too much anxiety to be
I
the
have way
fool.
too much anxiety to be the fool, which is why I'd be great at Grief Night.
Because your luck runs out as soon as you become self-aware.
Yeah, Mike would be great for that. But I am not.
He's
No.
like, all thoughts,
Yeah,
just
all
all
the
actions, no
thoughts.
thoughts.
Yeah, he precisely. Let's see. I don't want to do the cyberpunk one. It's just
The
still
Neo.
no.
We're both like, that's lame. Being a cyberpunk loser.
I want to do something high fantasy. I mean, cool on them, but it's just not my meh. I'm not interested in that. Yeah.
I watched Kieran Gillen do like a demonstration of the die game on YouTube. So I sat for like 2 hours and watched them play. And I've reversed my position. I think actually we should play. I think it would be very fun. I still don't want to be the Grandmaster. I'm still not doing that. Yeah,
Well, I'm not
but.
doing it. We'll make
Well, I'd
Andrew
ask.
do it.
I'd be like Michael, but Michael's a fake bitch, so it's like he won't even know about this until 6 months from now.
He's just gonna show up the day that we're filming and be like, "Hey, guess what you're doing today?" Yep.
Guys.
Hey, Michael. So, turns out you're guest starring in a show today, and you're also DMing. Have fun.
Now imagine that, but not even with Die, with Call of Cthulhu.
That
Oh,
seems
you've never played
complicated.
Call of Cthulhu. That's crazy.
I know it's in depth.
It's too, I'm not gonna lie, it's too deep for me. I've started several games, but it's like I don't understand the rules. And
Yeah.
it's I can't be bothered to like listen to the
So which would you choose, though?
I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know. I
Pick one.
no. And to change the subject, I think the Emotion Knight Earth represents all the martial classes because I think the Rage Knight is a barbarian.
Yeah.
So with the Grief Knight as the paladin, I wonder what all of the other ones are, and I wonder which one is the monk. Because I did no research into this order. I'm like, oh, they got rage, they got joy, and they got grief. Cool.
I don't know. And I'd even argue that I'm not even sure if the monk would be like one of the emotion knights.
Why
I don't
not?
know. So a big part of being a monk is like trying to quiet the mind and being in a state of neutrality.
Is that not an emotion?
It's the lack of.
I wouldn't say lack of. You can't not feel anything. You feel something.
No, but
It's
it's
just
supposed to
calmness
neutralize
or
it. Yeah. What is it going to be, a
not.
calm night?
Man, imagine you get the paws put on you by somebody who's complete. Oh my gosh, you've ever seen Ip Man? I was about to say, like, getting the paws put on you by somebody completely neutral, but Donnie Yen, he'd beat the mess out of these people. He'd be like, with no face. Like, literally the entire time, he's like,
That'd be pretty embarrassing.
yeah. And it's like, these people are like screaming, yelling, like halfway to crying, getting beat so badly. And it's like, punch, 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 no emotion. Oh, we left off the fact that in. At the end of the comic, it was 2020 when they all got back. Everybody was wearing
Yes.
masks. They were like, girl, what the hell? And Matt's dad was alive.
Yes, he was, which I had a
Oh,
feeling he wasn't dead.
because those guys are hoes.
Yeah, I don't trust them. And this is why I don't want to be a Godbinder.
Yeah, because I don't want to deal with you knowing you're a hoe. What if you hoe me? Like Isabel
Like
got
they
hoed because
do.
Matt was coming to kill them. I believe that's all that I have to say. Are there any final thoughts or anything else you need to get out?
Not that I can think of. Trying to think of something good to say.
Hobie ho, let's go.
I was just really impressed with all of this is obviously made by somebody who genuinely loves tabletop gaming and loves the origin of it in and of itself and really took their time with researching or maybe even like growing with this game as it, with tabletop games as they've developed. And there's so much detail and background information put in. There's so much respect paid to all the various authors that are like characters in this piece. And so you can just really feel all of the passion and the care that was put into it, which is refreshing because there's a lot of times where you experience plots that are supposed to be built around tabletop gaming and it doesn't feel like a real story. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. So this was just all so integrated so well. I was really impressed with it.
I feel like when a lot of people make, when you create a narrative around gaming, it's either to be completely insufferable. Like, and I say this as somebody who really likes the Ready Player One movie. Like, I don't care if anybody else doesn't like it. It's for me. I feel like that was just amassing knowledge to be annoying. But this was amassing knowledge. It's like, no, I just love this. I love this so much. I had to devote time to making sure other people understood exactly why I love it. Like, one of my favorite movies is the original Dungeons and Dragons movie that they made with Marlon Wayans. It's so horrible. And watching it and then watching movies like The Chronicles of Riddick, they really impacted the way that I saw fantasy. That changed my life. It changed my entire concept of, like, I was like, oh, these are things that can exist in a world. It reminded me that we are all creating the world together. As goofy as that sounds, like, the players create their character, the dungeon master creates the world, but as we live out our everyday lives, are we not also creating the world and shaping it together collaboratively?
That's true.
And it might sound goofy like that, the way I phrased it, because obviously it was very unserious, but I don't know. That's what I took away from Die. Like, it, have you ever seen Jumanji, actually, the Jumanji, the Next Level with The
Yeah,
Rock?
next level. The first, I've seen the first one, I haven't seen the second.
You're so unserious. I love you so much.
That's your new favorite word.
It really is, because that's the best way to do it. I was talking about that to my mom. It's the best way to describe a lot of situations. Some things, they're not even just good. They're not even just bad. They're not even just stupid. They're just unserious.
Carry on.
It's like, you're not even a fool. You're just unserious. Anyway, so in Jumanji, the Next Level, it's kind of like in Die, where they all get sucked into an old school video game, but they got to select their characters.
Yeah.
And The Rock is this nerdy guy named Spencer, and he plays Dr. Smolder Bravestone. That's his identity in the game. And this girl Martha, she plays Ruby Roundhouse, Killer of Men, and is Karen Gillan. I love Karen Gillan. But at the end of the game, when they're all set to go home, Nick Jonas had been in the game for like 20 years or something, and he was like, "Time to go." Kevin Hart was like, "Get me the hell out of here." The other girl got turned into Jack Black, and she was like, "Ooh, gotta go." But yeah, and Jack Black ate that role up, like,
That's my
left no
man.
crumbs. I know, and he's been your man all these years.
I have
He
had a
appreciates the
crush on
support.
him since I was a little kid, and I still love him.
You know, his beard's all white now.
I don't give a fuck. I love him.
You sound like Afion Crockett in that. So at the end, after they've had all these fantastic adventures in Jumanji and they've confronted their fears, like, right before this, before they hit the boss battle, and also the boss was Bobby Cannavale, so that was just kind of, it was like unserious to me. But my mom told me he had just played the Killer Killer on Boardwalk Empire and was like walking out covered in blood, like, ah! Which really has nothing to do with anything, but I wasn't scared. And she was like, nah, he's scary now. So they get to the boss fight, right? Or like the last level, and they're like, he, over the course of the game, he's down to one life, Dr. Bravestone, and he talks to Kevin Hart, what is his name? Mouse. He's like, yeah, but you know, now I only have one life. He's like, what you talking about, Spencer? We all only ever have one life. I was like, period, because we all only ever have one life. Just like Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, everybody watch it. Then at the end, he hesitates, kind of like Ash does, in the first time they were leaving Dive, he says, he holds Martha back and he's like, why don't we stay? And she's like, what? And he's like, we can live every day like this. And she puts her hand over his and she's like, then let's do it. Let's live every day like this. And I was like, you see, I feel like people thought that they, when they said God's Jumanji, they thought they meant the one with Alan Parrish. No. This is the one with Spencer Gilpin. That's the God's Jumanji.
So when you say the first one, are you talking about the one with Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Yes, I loved that one as a kid.
You know the Rock don't hesitate to swoop in and steal your franchise. Especially from
Loves
Brendan
himself a
Fraser.
franchise.
It's pre-built. Psh, sign me up. I need to stop clowning on the Rock because I try not to talk noise about anybody I don't think I could fight, even though I don't think the Rock will fight women. I'm not fighting, period, actually. I'm too pretty now and I'm too old.
I was gonna say, you're willing to fight me, though.
I'll beat the brakes off you, little girl. Don't play with me.
I have almost, what, 6 inches on you?
Girl, I'll hit you
I
right
love
in
your
both them
effort.
titties.
Okay, baby, whatever
You'll
makes you
be
feel
bowled
better.
over.
Baby, I breastfed for 2 years. You think a little is gonna do anything? These
Girl,
babies have been through some shit.
I'm hit you like it mine. It's gonna be like pop, 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 pop. Both them titties, and then I'm gonna stick my finger in your belly button hole, and then I'm gonna hook into your soul. Yeah.
Not the belly button hole.
You don't
That's
know about
diabolical.
these secret techniques. These secret techniques. I told you, R.I.P. to
That's
Lovecraft, but
dirty.
I'm different. I've seen horrors beyond your comprehension, and I came out unscathed. I'm like Daenerys
Dirty.
Targaryen. I
You're
walked in
fighting
a fire and
wrong.
came out with three dragons. I'm so very unserious. Anyways, so that's all for this week's episode of True Believers. Thank you for all your support. And if everything goes according to plan, I will be back next week. Should I just go ahead and say what my topic is for next month?
Yeah.
It's gonna be a magical girl month, you guys. I tried to say that dramatically, it just didn't come out that way. True Believers is available on all major streaming platforms, and we are a member of the Hall of Pods Podcasting Alliance that can be found in Linktree below, alongside the Social Justice Warrior Comic Club, the Fandom Optimist, and Cape Corner. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us, email us at number1truebelievers@gmail.com, or join our Discord.
Hit that like and subscribe, guys!
Okay, that's perfect.